To worship Satan is to set your mind on man's interests, not God's interests. That's what made Eve eat of that tree which God had forbidden. God's interest was don't touch it. Man's interest was eat it. Doesn't matter if God has forbidden it. And the Lord told Peter the same thing. You're setting your mind on man's interests, not God's interests. And if you're like that, verse 23 in the middle says, you're a stumbling block to me. Jesus was very strong. He was not mild in the way he rebuked. It's interesting that even though it says in John 6, the last verse, that Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot, he said, one of you is a devil. And he was referring to Judas Iscariot. But he never looked at Judas Iscariot and called him Satan. You know what he called him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you remember? Friend. He called Judas Iscariot friend. And he called Peter Satan. Those whom I love, I rebuke. If you have never heard the Lord rebuke you, I doubt whether you have ever heard him in your life. If you only heard the Lord speak words of comfort and encouragement and all the time, it's not the Lord. It's just your own self trying to encourage yourself. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I discipline. That's what he did to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. He was his closest co-worker. This is the man who was going to be the leader of the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And he had to be cleansed from all seeking of his own interest if he was going to be the leader of the church. And he had to get the strongest rebuke. And if God has got great purposes for you, he'll really rebuke you strongly. If he doesn't have great purposes for you, he'll just leave you on the side because he sees you're not really interested. Jesus knew that Peter was passionate. He loved him. He was willing to do anything. When he said, I will never deny you, he meant it. He didn't know how weak he was, but his heart was right. He wasn't aware of his own weakness, but he was absolutely devoted to the Lord, and Jesus knew that. He needed to be, his self-confidence needed to be shattered a bit and broken. That's why God allowed him to deny him three times. But his heart was right. Now some of us, we may never deny the Lord like that, but our heart may not be devoted like Peter's. Your mind is set on man's interests, verse 23. What is the mark of a man who does not take up the cross? His mind is set on man's interests, not God's interests. And such a man can sit in any church, but he'll never build a church, that's for sure. He'll be a passenger. And I find lots of people in many of our churches are passengers. They sit there. They don't want to go to any other church. It's the best church. It's got the best doctrine. It's got good preaching. And it's got good brothers and sisters who care for one another. And it seems to be closest to the Bible. But they're not really delivered from seeking their own interest. And we wonder, is it possible? Is it possible to live on this earth seeking God's interests? Don't I need to seek my own as well? No. If you seek God's kingdom first, every single thing that you need in your life will be added to you. You may not accomplish all that you want to. You may not make as much money as you want to. But you'll fulfill God's will on earth. And when you stand before the Lord on the final day, you'll have no regret. That you live the best possible life any human being could ever live. That's the way I want to live. He'll never let you starve. That I can guarantee. He'll never make you a homeless person. Your children will not be homeless. Your grandchildren will not be homeless. Isn't that enough? Mm-hmm. And at the end of it all, to stand before the Lord and really having accomplished what God sent you onto this earth for. Those are the people who are passionate about, Lord, I want to see if I'm fulfilling your interests in my life. The man, let me repeat this, the man who does not take up the cross is the one who's set, his mind is basically on his own interests. Occasionally he thinks about God's interests, but he doesn't feel it's a life where I must always seek God's interests. It's not possible. That's how Jesus lived, but I can't live like that. That means they have not seen in their heart that the way Jesus lived was the best way that any human being could ever live. And remember this, Jesus was not a full-time worker all his life. He was a full-time worker only for 10% of his life, 3.5 years. He was an ordinary secular worker like all of you are for 90% of his life. He was a carpenter who earned his own living. He had 4 brothers and 2 sisters. He had to provide for his family. But I'm fully convinced that while he was a carpenter, while he was working in a secular job all those years, his mind was set on God's interest. He would never do anything that would violate God's principles, and he was always thinking, how can God be glorified in my life? Not how can I make the most money or how can I advance the most. No. How can God be glorified? I'll do my work faithfully, but my aim will be to glorify God, not to advance myself. And you can train your children to advance themselves in the world. I guarantee you'll regret one day. You will weep in sorrow over the way your children have become because you have promoted them to become great in the world. But if you teach them to seek God's interest first, God will take care of them in their earthly needs. But you won't have any regret at the end of your life. I can only tell you, I preach this in many, many places, and I find that about 10% of people listen to it. Not 10% of Christians, 10% of people in CFC churches take it seriously. So I don't believe all of you will take it seriously. I'm telling you the truth. Percentage-wise, what I've seen in other places, if you happen to be one of those who really say, Lord, this is the way I want to live, it'll go really well with you. For example, supposing I tell you that from today onwards, you must never gossip for the rest of your life. Would you accept it? Never speak against another person for the rest of your life. You say, how can I do that? I have to sometimes. Okay. Look back over your past life. Is today the first time you're ever hearing about gossiping and backbiting? No, you've heard it hundreds of times. But look back over your past life since the first time you heard it in the last 10, 15 years. Has it stopped you from doing it? No. How is it it has not stopped you from doing it? You still keep on doing it. You don't keep a guard over your mouth. You don't check yourself. It shows that most of the things we hear, we don't take seriously. The life of Jesus has not gripped us. We haven't got an inner revelation in our heart that this is how Jesus lived. So that's something that I see here, the revealed Christ, and seeing that Jesus lived on earth, never seeking his own interests, always seeking God's interests, when he was a carpenter, or when he was at home, or any time, or when he was serving the Father full time in those 3.5 years, always, always seeking God's interests. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul says to Timothy, one of the dangers of the last days. Second Timothy 3 verse 1. In the last days, difficult times will come. The Living Bible paraphrases that as, it'll be difficult to be a Christian in the last days. And we immediately think of persecution or opposition. And that's why it's going to be difficult to be a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. I mean, there's always been persecution, not just in the last days. Paul was living in a time when there's tremendous persecution. Why doesn't he say, right now it's difficult to be a Christian? Why does he say in the last days it's going to be difficult to be a Christian? Because if you think of the whole world, there's not as much persecution in the world of Christians today as there was in the first century, where the entire Roman world for 300 years when Paul was living, They were persecuting Christians left, right, and center. These are the days when they had to hide in the jungles and in the caves and all that. They couldn't meet so easily. And yet he says in the last days it will be difficult to be a Christian. So it's not persecution he's talking about at all. See what he says. Why will it be difficult to be a Christian? Because in the last days, verse 5, people will hold to a form of godliness. And if you believe that here in this church we have the purest doctrine compared to all other churches, I believe it. That's not arrogance, it's not pride, it's just fact. That I don't know of many churches that preach the new covenant and that preach victory over sin and that preach about building the body of Christ. If you know such churches, let me know. I'd like to meet church people who preach consistently about overcoming sin, about taking up the cross, and about the new covenant and about building the body of Christ and following Jesus literally. I hardly find, and I've covered most churches and I find it's not there. So, truth-wise, we probably have more than others. But it says here they can have a hold to a form of godliness, but not have the inner power. And I believe that is the greatest danger we face. I don't think we are in danger of worldliness. We are in danger of hypocrisy, of claiming to have a very high standard, but not living by that standard in our daily life.